You know, the old folks used to say a long time ago, count your many blessings and see what God has done. Name them one by one. Sometimes we take life for granted. We take for granted the many blessings that the Lord blessed us with. Whether it may be our health, our prosperity, just food and raiment, sometimes we take it for granted. But we serve a good God. In that sometimes we just don't realize how blessed we are. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. And I want to begin reading this morning in verse 10 through verse 14. And the title of our study this morning, if I may, that I want to begin with a question. And that is anything too hard for the Lord? Many times we allow financial problems, family problems, friendship problems, physical problems, to rob us of the ability to realize who we are. Acts 11:26, the Bible says that they called us Christians. And in being a child of God, the 66 books in the Bible today, if you just take time and you study the Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation, and we see just in those 66 books, there are over 30,000 promises that God makes in relationship to what his will is, in relationship to being a child of God. But when you go to James chapter 1, and we've been studying that scripture for a while, and when you think about James chapter 1, what the Bible says here in relationship to promises. James chapter 1 and verse number 12. Here's a promise here that we can hold on to when we ask that question, is anything too hard for the Lord? He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord, if you got your Bible, underline, the Lord. I didn't make it, you didn't make it, but the Lord made promises to them that love him. That love him. And in spite of our humanity, our shortcomings, our wherever it may be, this morning as we ask that question, is anything too hard for the Lord? What will be your answer? What will be my answer as we go to the Word of God and prove all things and hold fast to that which is good? Go in the book of Romans right quick. I want to share a few more verses with you before we go to Genesis 18. Because in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1, when we talk about those promises that God promised us just for being a part of that royal priesthood, heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ, he says in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit, the 66 books that I hold in my hand, also help our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, it make intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, for them who are the call according to his purpose. Verse 31, he says, What shall we then say to these things if God be for us? And we're going to see, if God be for us through our prayer life, through problems that we have, if God be for us, if God be for us, what can be against us? Are you with me this morning? And then verse 35, look what he says here. He says, who shall separate us? Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall it be tribulation? Shall it be distress? Shall it be persecution? Shall it be famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as a sheep for the slaughter. But look at verse number 31. As we look at the promises of God, that we as Christians, the mindset that we need to have, brethren, as we ask that question this morning, is anything too hard for the Lord? He says in verse 37, and I want you to see it with me. I don't want you to miss it with me this morning. He says, nay, in all these things, your things not my things, and my things are not your things. But we do share a common conformity, and that is that we all wear the name Christian. And we all look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We all set our affection on things which are above and not on things on this earth. He says, nay, in all these things, I don't know what your things may be, but through the power of the word of God, he said, nay, in all these things, we are more. We are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded, look what he says. He said, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or even things to come. Not just right now, but I'm even talking about next week too. Present and things to come. Now you with me? He says, no height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able. And I got it underlined and highlighted in my Bible. Because we're going to see and we're going to ask that question. It's examination time. Because I don't know why you call yourself a Christian. Why you say you are the light of the world, why you are the salt of the earth, and not enjoying the benefits that we have through the power of the word of God? Because my Bible says that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in, and that's the key point, you got to be in Christ Jesus. You got to be guided by the Spirit. And we're going to see this morning that through the power of prayer and that through the power of a problem, even though we're going to see in Genesis 18, you're talking about an old man and an old woman. That when God tells you something, And if it's backed up by the Spirit, nothing can, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. That's the joy of brothering, my friends, that we have by being in Christ Jesus. And these 30,000 promises from Genesis to the book of Revelation that we receive, my brethren, see, we receive by being in Christ Jesus, because my brother, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing. Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse number 10. This morning, I just want you to read, because I want you to see God in action. Amen. I want you to see God in action, that when God moves, when God talks, when God leads, when God directs, through the Spirit, through the power of the Word of God, I want us to see that if God can work through Abraham and Sarah, and that God can work through the children of Israel that have been in Egyptian bondage, if God can work through these people. Brother, it's the same God that was in Genesis 1 when he said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And when you read in Hebrews 11:3, he said, through faith we understand that the world was framed by God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. This same God on day one created the heaven and the earth. Day two, the sky. Day three, the dry land. Day four, the stars in the heavenly places. Day five, life, dealing with those in the water. And day six, creatures on dry land. And the final in Genesis 1:26, he says, let us make man in our own image. That's the God I'm talking about. That's the God that I'm talking about. That when we ask that question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And guess what, brother? I believe it. And my mindset is that I'm not going to let anybody or nothing separate me from the love of God. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So let's read in Genesis 18. I hope you're still with me. Amen. Because see, the devil don't want you to be happy. Amen. The devil don't want you to have peace. Amen. The devil don't want your frame of mind to be like he read in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in us which is in Christ Jesus. Or Romans 12:2. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The devil don't want you to have that peace of mind to leave here today. To realize that I don't care how broke I am. I don't care what kind of money problems or children problems or wife problems I got. But you're going to realize that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Because here's the question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Genesis 18. And we'll start reading in verse 10. It says, and he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah, I want you to see, they were old, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Now, I want you to see what's being said here in verse 10 and 11. Because number one, a promise was made. Do you see what the promise was? God said, you shall have a son. Now, verse 11, whenever God speaks, sometimes the devil likes to throw adversity in our way. See, you know that Bible study started at 9:30, but the devil gave you every reason to believe that it was not important. Now, God said in verse 10, you shall have a child. But the question that I ask, Well, what difference did it make? How old they were? How advanced in age were they? Because, number one, God had already made the what? Promise. So it makes no difference. When God promised you something, well, we ain't got to worry about how it's being done, when it's going to be done, why it's going to be done, or where it's going to be done. We just going to trust God to realize it's going to be what? Done. And leave everything else up to God. Amen. And not trust in the tangibility of the things what we see, but trusting God to realize that when God says something, it's going to happen. Now, let me back it up, because see, I want us to see this here. I want to bring it to home. Number one, look at verse 10 again. God states the promise. And when you see what God said, when he said that Sarah, your wife, will have a son, underline that, because that should be enough. And then the next verse, I want you to write, problems of life. Amen. Because see, it shouldn't have been a problem, because see, when you got a problem and you don't deal with the problem in the right word, this is the consequence. Because verse 12 says, Sarah laughed. What right did Sarah have to laugh at God? Amen. What right do we have to laugh at God? When God tells us we can do all things through Christ, my God shall supply all your needs, all things work out together for good for those who love the Lord. We are more than conquerors to those who love the Lord. That's enough, amen. We don't need to go no farther, amen. Why are we not going to trust God and say, well, God, I know you said that. I heard out loud preach that. I read that in Romans chapter 8. Well, why you got to go get 40 more hours to take care of someone? God already told you he's going to take care of it, amen. Y'all with me? Come on, shake your head. See, we block our blessings. We block our blessings by not transforming or not conforming our mindset to what God says in relationship to who we are in relationship. Because see, we're no different than Sarah, amen. See, why did Sarah laugh? She was sneaking behind the door and she was listening to what was being said. And won't leave what else I'm going to say out. But when God speaks, when God makes a command through the 30,000 promises I'm talking about, we need to trust God and let God's will be done. That's the lesson to be learned. Amen. That's the blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. But when we begin to be add to God's word, Deuteronomy 4:2, Proverbs 13:6, and Revelation 22:18-19, then we let the adversity of the world, of carnality, of the flesh, did I say it right? Get into our way in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. But look at verse number 12. It says, then, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure in my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? But look at verse 14. This is the question. Is anything, you need to mark that, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, he said, I will return to you according to the time of life. And look what he says here. And Sarah shall have a son. See, when God speaks in his word, brother, we need to look unto God and look unto God and look unto God and trust God to realize that God is able. Amen. Amen. Because we serve a good God. See, that's the immutability of God in relationship to how God works in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Let's go a little bit further. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel. I want to read another example to you in the book of 1 Samuel. See, when we pray, prayer is not too hard for God to answer. Who are we? We're Christians. The The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me give you some scripture before we go there real quick. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says here, it says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou even knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3, call on me. We got that right to call on him, amen. Call on me. Philippians 4:6. It says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 1 Timothy 2:5. The Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that man Christ Jesus is our Christ Jesus. And then one more one. In the book of Mark, chapter 9:23. Jesus said unto them, if thou cannot believe it, all things are impossible to him that believeth. Why believe it? That's the power of prayer. But before prayer can work, we got to realize, see, who's there. And that's the reason why we went to 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, and that man is Christ Jesus. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm not going to have time, but in your study time this week, read the first 20 verses if you may. I want to show you something here in relationship to how God worked. Now, Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning. Beginning in verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says, there was a certain man, a Rehoboth, a Zobram, of the mountains of Ephraim. And his name was Achanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tahu, the son of Zuk, and a Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. And the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, what was the problem? One of his wife had children, and the other wife had no children. But look at verse 5 for time's sake. Verse number 5, the Bible says, but to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Although the Lord, look what he said here, he had closed her womb. Now think about it now. Is anything too hard for the Lord? But I'm going to show you that through the power of prayer, God answers a prayer. It makes no difference how difficult it may be. It may be hard to you, but what's hard to you ain't hard to God. Amen. Y'all with me? Her womb had been closed. But see, we're not talking about UAB doctors. We're not talking about St. Vincent's doctors. We're not talking about Malachi, how far they have came. We're talking about God, amen. That through the power of prayer. See, let me tell you something, brethren. We call ourselves Christians, and we got the right to pray. Because the fervent prayer of a righteous man that is much. But see, we don't call on God. We don't look unto God to take care of our every need. Amen. See, we just read in Romans 8:26, for he help us with our infirmities as we are guided by the Spirit. So if you got your Bible, if this is going to mean something to you, that ain't going to mean nothing to you, just don't do it. But it means something to me because I see God in action. Amen. In Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are in the foretell are written for our learning. And guess what? He's the same God in the book of Genesis. It's the same God in the book of Revelation. Amen. If it worked for them, guess what, brethren? It'll work for me. So what you need to do is verse number 5. I want you to underline that her womb was closed. Amen. And then drop down to verse number 10 And I want to start reading again. The Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul. And this is what I want you to see right here, brother. Even though they laughed at her, because you continue to read, they were laughing at her, and they were saying, well, how can a wife that be so wicked, and how can a wife be this and this? And look, she got cured, but look here, you call yourself serving the Lord, and you can't even have a child. Ain't that something? Well, thank God for the power of prayer, amen. Because see, she didn't let that get her down, amen. She wasn't caught up in the world, amen. She trusted in God. Because verse 10 said, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord. And she wept in anger. Then she made a vow, and she said, that word vow means that she made a promise. And she said, O Lord of hosts, you will indeed to look on my affliction of your maidservant and remember me and forget your maidservant, but give your male servant a male son, a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall he come upon his head. Now let me talk about that for a minute. See, sometimes when we pray, we can get specific, amen. See, not only did she want a child, but she wanted what kind of child? A male child, amen. She just couldn't say, well, Lord, just give me a child. Her womb was closed, but she even specified. See, that's the power of prayer, amen. Man, we just don't know what we're missing when we don't pray, amen. You just don't know when you don't miss it, when you can't pray, amen. But see, that's the power of prayer, amen. That not only did she pray, but she also specified in a prayer what she wanted. Now drop her down to verse 19. Because see, not only did she pray, but in 19, she did something else. See, the Bible says, then they rose early in the morning. Amen. Sometimes you got to get up early and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes you just got to get up early and get you some me time. Y'all know what me time is? See, me time, Quinn, can I talk about you a little bit? I was me time and when I'm going home. Turn left. And I'm just thinking. I'm praying to you, bro. Please let him stop. Please, Lord. Me time. See, me time is when you wake up early in the morning, amen. And if you like coffee, make you a pot of coffee, amen. And everybody is asleep in the morning, and you get to yourself and you have a little talk with Jesus, amen. And you specify, Lord, I know ain't nothing too hard for the Lord. But Lord, just let thy will be done in my life. Lord, just keep me humble. Lord, just let me submit to your will so I can resist the devil, so I can draw near to you. Humble me in the sight so you can lift me up, Lord. Amen. That's that meantime. But we get so busy running and running. You wake up late, hustling, bawling, trying to get to work, and your mind all messed up. Amen. I want to say, John, read that verse for me. Early in the morning, she got up and did what?
And they rose up.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And worshiped.
She worshiped
before the Lord.
See, not only did she pray, but she also worshiped. She took time out to give honor unto whom honor is due. See, she prayed and she worshiped. She realized the power of prayer. Amen. And then in verse 21, I want you to see the end result. That's the power of prayer. When we ask that question, yeah, they were her womb was closed up. Yeah, there was a problem. But verse 21 says this here. The Bible says, now the man, her husband, Elkanah, and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go, for she said to her husband, not until this child is weaned. Then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord, and there he remain forever. And that child, that vow that she made, that prayer that she prayed, that worship that she gave in adoration to God, to realize in spite of what her shortcomings were, her womb was closed up in spite of what all she went through, she still kept a commitment and did what she said she was going to do. And that boy, Samuel, her son, became the first prophet under King Saul. Because, see, it wasn't nothing too hard for the Lord. In spite of, and that's the attitude, brethren, that we got to have. I don't know what your infirmities may be. I don't know what your shortcomings may be. I don't know what persecution or what famine or whatever it may do that beset you. But the question that we need to look at this morning, and I know some of you been cut off, but that's all right. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, last thing, let's go to Exodus chapter 13. And I'm going to show you one more. That no problem. See, not only is the power of prayer, not only is it based on promises, but it's also based on that there's no problem too hard for the Lord to solve. No problem, no prayer, it's all based on promises, which is in Christ Jesus, because simply, for there's one God, there's one mediator between God and man, and that man is Christ Jesus. Exodus 13. I want you to follow along with me. Y'all with me? Well, the 10 plagues God had put on Pharaoh to let my people go. And we know the story, how the children of Israel had been in Egyptian bondage for about 400 years. And the final plague, the 10th plague, was the death of every firstborn living. He told them to take the blood, the side posts of a lamb, and put it on the side post and the top post, and at midnight when the death angel came over, he would spare the children of Israel. So in Exodus 13, verse 15, let's read what happened. It says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn. When you play with the devil and the devil tools, he will make you stubborn. Some of you, through the power of the word of God that has been spoken today, still don't look unto Jesus. Still not setting your affection on things which are above. Don't realize the power of Romans 1:16, when I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Because sin just has stubborn us to the point while faith have quit working because works is not there no more. He said, and it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. And therefore I sacrificed to the Lord all males that opened the womb, but all the firstborns of my sons I redeemed. And it shall be as a sign on your hands, as frontless between your eyes, for by strength of hand, look what he said, the Lord, underline that. They didn't do it by themselves, but the Lord. See, you don't do it by yourself. The Lord. I don't care how good a job you have. It's the Lord that woke you up this morning. Amen. I don't care how much you make an hour. It's the Lord that gives you strength to make you move. Amen. You think just because you got a college degree, or you think because you got a DD, MD, whatever kind of D you got behind your name, it ain't that, brother. It's the Lord, amen? The Lord, look what he says here. The Lord brought us out of Egypt. Now look what it says, verse 17. It said, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. Now you remember back up here in verse 15, you got to underline, he was stubborn, wasn't he? Amen. He was stubborn. Then it got in the bag when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people. Underline that again, because I want you to see, I want you to have your mindset, because see, we can talk about is anything too hard for the Lord, and then we're going to get in the way. Because it ain't you. It ain't you. That what you are based on you is because of the goodness of God. Amen. It is the goodness of God. Amen. That we want you to get on your knees and thank the Lord every day. Thank the Lord every day for your wife. Thank the Lord every day for your children. Thank the Lord every day. Amen. For food that you eat. Because we don't have it because we've been so good. It's called God's grace and mercy. Amen. It's called the goodness of God. Because in both cases, see, that's what he was trying to get them to see. Before God can work to answer that question, is anything too hard to the Lord? Brother, you got to put your hands in God's hands. Amen. Because God don't work outside of himself. Amen. Because what sin is, God is what? Now, y'all with me? See, you got to get your thinking right. See, you got to get your thinking right. See, some of y'all still talking about mine. Mine. Go home to my, that house ain't true. God just letting you use it till he called you home, amen. Am I right? We don't own nothing. We came in the world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. Amen? Do you believe that? But God just leading us, amen. That's those 30,000 promises that through Genesis to the book of Revelation that we look unto and we trust, amen. I'm just trying to reemphasize. Because see, God never would have answered Hannah in prayer if she not prayed and she not got up early that morning. See, she had to do what God told her to do. And see, that's what we got to do. Quit being stubborn. Quit being Pharaoh in your life. Amen. Let the Lord lead you. Amen. So it says here. So he said here that so God led the people around by the way of wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in all their ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had played the children of Israel on Solomon, saying, look what he says here, God will surely. And at the same thing, my God shall supply. All things work out together. All things work out for good. We are more than conquerors. Do y'all believe that? God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bone from here with you. So they took that journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by, look what he said, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. Terry, get what? He's still leading them, ain't he? He's still leading them, ain't he? And he led the way. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. Amen. He lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. Am I right? Y'all with me? Ain't that right what Jesus is? He said, I am the light of the world. Am I right? Ain't that what it is? We're looking to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And then it said, and he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or pillar of fire by night from before the people. See, God led them. A lot of times when you hear preachers preach that sermon about how Moses parted the Red Sea, that's all we hear. But see, we never hear how it's being done. See, they had to obey. They had to follow. They had instructions. They just didn't do what they wanted to do. See, before that question can be asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? Brother, when we got to consult the book, amen? We got to consult the instructions, amen? And be led. We'd be led by Jesus through the power of his holy and divine word. But for time's sake, chapter 14. Don't have time to read it all, but I want to show you something. Because in 13:15, his heart was stubborn. But I don't care how hard his heart was stubborn. Your arms are too short to box with God. So chapter 14, verse 14, it said, then will I harden Pharaoh's heart, that I will pursue them. And I gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians, look what he says here, see, that they may know, that they may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. But look here, come on, drop down a few more verses and we're going to wrap it up. But see, beginning in verse number 6, see, what make him thought that Jericho, he had a whole lot of horses and chariots and men, and he had all this here that he could compete with God. Because look at what it says here, verse 6. He said, so it made ready his chariot. He took his people with him. Look what he did. He took 600 choice chariots. He didn't take any kind. Choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. They couldn't have done that by themselves. But the question this morning, is anything too hard for the Lord? And we know the story, and I don't have time, but because they obeyed God and did what God told them, the Bible says he literally parted the Red Sea. And guess what? They stepped on dry ground. It wasn't moist. It was dry. Because when you let God control your life and you believe it's anything too hard for the Lord, guess what, folks? Everything's going to be all right. And I don't know about you. I'm so glad that the Lord is my friend. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. If there be one here today that needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, but number one, well, we talked about those 30,000 promises you can't use. So if you're here today and you want to be a Christian, Jesus said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're here today, you got to be buried in the water grave of baptism to rise to walk in newness of life. The water is ready. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is calling. And the question that we ask, will you answer the call? The Bible says baptism does also save us. If you're here today and you need to be saved, it's not but one way, that God's way. If you're here, you're a Christian, and you have not been living right, 1 John 1:9, that we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, and the blood of Jesus. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away your sins is nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you're here today, you need a church home. We're not a perfect home, but we're a perfecting home. We're a striving home. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but thank God we got the blood of Jesus. So if you're here today and you need to respond, come right now as we stand and we sing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.